Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do, from Namibia, Africa, and around the world. Tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past, and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
Good afternoon. It's a Friday, and we are 12 minutes into the hour of 4. Jeez, that was just a little 13 minutes. Holy cow. Anyway, it's a Friday, just there trying to put all the pieces together for my chat line, lifeline, our usual Friday program. But don't worry, it's still coming. But until then, let's just lay the foundation of today's discussion. And today's discussion is going to be based on night viewing.
Night viewing.
Not witchcraft night viewing.
It's not just night viewing.
You know, just a little disclaimer there for...
Yeah.
But
it's actually an interesting thing. Can I explain, Helmut, how I came up
this
topic?
It is interesting because it's something that I'll look at and go like, really?
We're speaking to fellow Namibians now who are wondering, night viewing? Is this our discussion on the home run?
Yeah, it's night skies, yes. And in relation to tourism, it turns out how tourism has a lot. There are a lot of things that basically makes people travel. There's cultural tourism. There's sports tourism.
And then you'll have
there's Gambia tourism. There's there's all kinds of tourism.
Remember that Gambia was Kenya and Tanzania, not so long ago, before COVID.
Really?
This is not the first time I've heard of Gambia tourism, Helmut. And then,
if
you want to think about the opposite,
yeah,
the African one, yeah, there is the Venezuelan, Colombian, Brazilian, and who's the other South American country? Brazilian, Venezuelan, Colombian, and. Who's that other country? They literally do the same kind of tourism as well. And then Thailand is the big boss in Asia.
I know about Thailand. Believe me. Anyway,
on both sides of the lane, Thailand is the big boss.
You know, one of the Thailand tourism running joke on the internet is you'll more often find a picture of that's captioned. You know, we're just chilling, and my friend, the last time I saw my friend, he was running out of a house shouting, "It's a boy, it's a boy." And we never went back to Thailand again.
Oh, no, Helmut. No. No.
Never went back
to
Thailand
again. You guys don't catch that pun.
That's on you. But look, one thing I like about Thailand's LGBTQ community,
yeah,
is they're very open about it. Yeah, they will tell you they will tell you I think the term more often used there is a lady boy.
Yes.
Yeah.
But it's
and they'll be like
but
a lady
also
boy.
A cultural thing, eh?
Wait, that's a cultural thing too.
Yeah.
That explains why it's
they accept it.
Yeah.
It's that there's a whole bunch of literature on why it's a bit Well, if you're an African man, because I'm speaking from an African perspective, which is a conservative perspective, which is influenced by Christian conservatism, which I'm explaining all of us Africans, basically, or most of us, not all of us, because there's also Muslim and Judaic Africans on the continent.
Yeah.
If you go to Asia specifically, in Asia, the discussion of LGBTQ plus things now is not the cut and dry versions that we see.
So it's a different type of discussion.
In the Western media we are exposed to.
Yeah.
And even the how can I say this? The sort of like disconnected discourse. And now when I say discourse, I'm meaning the conversations we're exposed to at every level.
Yeah.
So you would go to a church and you'd hear your religious leader have the most warped and, in many cases, the most misunderstood perspective of the LGBTQ plus community.
Mm-hmm.
If you go into your community, you would identify it's probably a guy or a girl that have, you know, they are viewed as being abnormal in the community. If it's a guy, then who's overtly feminine, meaning there's a lot more feminineness to them.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a girl, they're a lot more tomboyish, a lot more aggressive, a lot more butch in some cases, as the descriptions sometimes go. If you go into a school setting, which now is the only setting in, for example, a Namibian context where all Namibians have to be. We have to tolerate each other.
Mm-hmm.
All Namibians, doesn't matter what background, which skin color, religious influence. Technically, our school system is the only communist setting in the country. Meaning, you put your differences aside, you're there to. We are all there for the same purpose, to learn, to get educated, and basically to advance Namibia's, what you call it, education policy. But outside that is where the only it's anything but that particular idealism. And then you cascade that downwards, let me say, in like the broader sense of the economy.
Yeah.
No one cares. In the economy, no one cares. You can wear all the pink and the purple and or have all the highlights in your hair and all the tattoos and markings you want. Today in Namibia, we don't care.
But that's not where our discussion is. Now, leaving Thailand out of this, because
and
that's still
Gambia.
My favorite. Yeah, and the Gambia. The Gambia actually, there have been a bunch of Gambian, you know, MPs that have been wanting to bring back, female circumcision.
What?
In the 21st century.
Oh, my goodness.
And
there are a bunch of guys in there.
Yeah.
Yeah,
and one of them keeps saying, one of them, I think, again, not shocked, is a religious leader at the same time.
Yeah,
yeah, and he keeps,
and his health minister is probably the only one telling him, please don't think this.
He keeps yapping about his, I think 15 to 17 kids that he has, and they have unfortunately all been taken through that same process. I'm like, look, it's your culture, it's you, but like, really? Okay, you know what? Anyway, that's just disturbing on a whole another level.
Yeah.
But that's Gambia.
Our conversation started on a whole completely different angle. But yeah,
I know, right?
Yeah.
Now there are a lot of ways I can talk about tourism in that discussion, but I did that on stage last night. I took it all out.
You see, I think that's
and
why,
my crowd loved it.
I think that's why.
I probably
should have been there last night after the show, but yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, no, the next one will be in Afrikaans. I just promise. Now, so today's tourism discussion is going to be looked at. Like I pointed out earlier, that there are a lot of things that makes people travel. One of the you have sports tourism and cultural tourism.
Mm.
Before we went the direction of Thailand and Gambia, but you know, just being on the PG rated reasons over why people try, travel. It turns out for a lot of people in urbanized areas, they like to travel around the world to witness some kind of a celestial phenomenon.
Mm.
That's taking place, like a meteor shower, for example. One of my go-to destination when it comes to night to night sky viewing is is the northern parts. You have parts of Norway, Finland, and Denmark. They have this
and Alaska.
They have this beautiful like aural skies which like shines in. Is it not purple, like greenish, which is, it's a very beautiful night sky.
It depends on which side of the northern hemisphere you're on. Because sometimes it comes like a purple-pink.
Yeah.
And in other spots, it can be a red, a yellow-green.
Yeah.
Yellow-green, lime-green. It depends on how it manifests, where you are. Because I don't know why the Golan Heights keep popping up in my head, which has nothing to do
reading about Syria. I love
nothing to do with tourism. but what do they call that? The lights. What do they call them? The Aurora something. But if you're in Alaska, I think it's the purple pink. If you're in Norway, Scandinavia,
must be the greenish one.
It's the greenish yellow that you see.
Yeah, greenish yellow.
The only spot which I'm disappointed in that you technically can't view it as best, but I haven't seen from a Russian perspective.
Yeah.
Because Russia is Russia, Norway, and the US, and who's the other country? Russia, Norway, US, and Iceland are Europe's northernmost countries,
mm-hmm.
or the world's northernmost countries. The downside is you can also see a version of the same thing in, isn't it Aurora Borealis, Helmut?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that the name?
Aurora
Borealis?
I know the word has the light in terms of description, how you
move. The
northern light is more of a like a generalized term that's used. But the aurora part, if you want to go, I think into a technical description of the light, or more often pops up.
Yeah.
Dwight, we have to put this pause in tourism. Now,
put a comma there.
We have to put a pause there. Now, on the other side, we're going to talk about why night tourism or night sky tourism is becoming a thing that is being
That's Aurora Borealis or the Northern Lights.
The Borealis.
Yeah, it's the other name for the Northern Lights.
Sounds violent. Borealis.
But we'll be back, guys.
Yeah, we'll be back on the other side. We'll talk about night sky travel is important. And I wonder how that's going to be, I wonder how that's going to work out. More like coincide with our urbanization discussion, because urbanization actually threatens these type of things.
Mm.
But we have a large country by landmass, and plus we're also, a little broke, so our night skies will remain beautiful for at least.
Yeah.
So, on the other side of the break, and of course coming up is the Childline Lifeline discussion.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past,
mm.
and it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ripurane ngeno wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi to danjuka. Okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Nune ujo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ujendi fenawa nukumona oijamoiri nawa. Ninge fata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onore tatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu watatu, o mafelane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have a capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle.
And welcome back, 27 into the hour of 4. If you just tuned in, you are listening to Eagle FM, and at this time of the day on Fridays, you know what that means. That means we turn each other line radio program in collaboration with Eagle FM, where we talk about a lot of things in relations to health, technology, and today's subject is differently abled people is the discussion that we have on the top on the menu for today. And in studio with me are Elvis Masule and Phoenix Faith. This wonderful afternoon, thank you for tuning in, and please just fasten your seatbelt because some education is about to come out of the youth. Good afternoon, guys.
Good afternoon. How are you today?
I'm all good. How are we?
Afternoon,
Elvis. You good?
Yeah, good.
All right. Okay. You know what? I won't waste your time, so I'll just give the floor to you guys shortly after telling you thank you for coming and welcome to Eagle FM. Please feel at home, and the floor is yours.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You. Well, thank you so much for the floor. I feel very welcome to be here today and to be with my twin here,
yes.
Faith. So as we have told, as you've heard, we come to you with a very interesting topic.
Yep. Today's topic is actually very dear to my heart. Elvis, I think you should remember why. But let me give you our official welcome back to Eagle FM. And as always, I am here with energy. Like I said, the topic is very dear to my heart, and that's because differently abled people. Not to brag a little bit, but I do have a foundation, Elvis, you remember?
Yeah, I definitely do.
Faith Abled Foundation, where we advocate for inclusion for the differently abled in schools, workplaces, even in your homes. I mean, how many times do you look at the buildings that we're in and realize that there are no elevators, or they're elevators, but it still takes a staircase to get to the elevator?
Talk that talk, girl.
I mean, it's crazy, no?
Very. Well, this is a very important conversation, Namibia. I think a lot of us look at disability the wrong way. We focus so much on what people can't do instead of recognizing what they can do and making sure that everyone has a fair chance to thrive.
Yes, exactly. And you know, through my work at Faith Abled Foundation, or through our work, we have so many ongoing projects, or we have done so much work so far, but there's one thing which I really, valid crash out, hear me out. Schools, from the young age, have told us that we are normal kids. Hear me out, stay with me here, stay with me.
We got you, girl.
The other kids, the differently abled, are put in special schools, like the one right next to us, Dagbreek. It's a special school because it holds the differently abled learners. Now, what does that tell every other Namibian child? What does that tell me, who goes to Winder Technical High School? Am I not special?
Mm.
You get that?
Valid. Well, that is a very interesting point. You know, sometimes people think that they're being kind, but pity can do more harm than good, in my opinion, really.
Exactly.
Like, it makes someone feel like they are less capable, and that's not what inclusion is about, in my own POV.
Exactly, and that's actually spot on. Because, you know, nobody wants to hear, "Oh, I feel so bad for you." No one wants to hear that. Like, get that out of here. We want our people to feel, yes, I hear you, I understand you, and I'm going to give you my shoulder to stand on. I'm going to lift you up so you can reach your goals. We want to give them the extra stepping stool if they need it. Because remember, each person is independent. We've been brought up in our own independent ways. And yes, they might require extra help sometimes, but not always. So instead of saying, here, let me help you, ask first, guys. Don't just assume somebody is incapable because they look like it. Don't judge the book by its cover.
Yeah, you know, I recently came across a meme on TikTok that, like, when you talk about books and the covers, it's like, don't judge a book by its cover. And the guy goes like, but why does the cover look like that?
Lord, so, guys.
But anyways, what you said, clock it to that. And I actually like it. I really like it. It really changes the way you think. So what are some things that we do or say every day, maybe without even realizing, that we should stop doing, like we should completely drop? And what's the best way to actually support people?
Well, speaking as founder, I will point out a few things that we see that we're trying to stop. And that's like the first habit I mentioned. When you see someone and you just assume, oh, they're differently abled, they need help, we should stop just assuming that and ask them instead first. Another thing is talking over or ignoring somebody with a different ability. Always address the person directly, not just their caregiver or companion. And you know, when you're like, simple things, being in a store and you bump into them and you see the person pushing the wheelchair and you say, oh, sorry. You bumped into the person in the wheelchair, not the one pushing. So you say sorry to them and say it in a kind and normal, chill, respectful way. Another bad habit is, of course, when you are, how do I say this? Maybe you're out of fascination, you see somebody with Tourette's and you see them having their tics. And you're like, oh, I've never seen someone with Tourette's in person before. I've never met somebody with autism. The way you look at them sometimes may be perceived to the person as, oh, look at you, you're such a weirdo, oh my gosh, get away from me. Even though deep down you're just like, oh wow, that's actually, you're so different, you're low-key cool, I vibe with you, you know? So when you look at somebody, look at them, don't stare, don't make funny faces, don't stare too long, because it can even get, for me as a normal person, I'll feel like, hey, dude, What are you looking at? Stop. It's weird. So we advise, dear listeners, let's not be too much. Let's not do too much. Let's do just enough. Let's not make others feel uncomfortable or unsafe. And last, what is the best way to help? That's what you said, yeah?
Yeah.
Goldfish memory, guys. Sorry. The best way to help is just be there. Be supportive. Show them that you are understanding and that you have the mindset of anyone. Just a normal mindset. You don't have to have a specific mindset. Sorry, you just have to be understanding and caring and inclusive, basically.
Talk that talk, Oral. So we have this stereotype that we live by in this generation. As you mentioned, we tend to think that everybody who looks differently needs help. Mm-hmm. But I really think that is really an offensive way to look at it. And those lens need to be cleaned. If not thrown away, cleaned. No. Like sanitize them and change it. Yeah, throw it away. Because everybody should feel like they are allowed to live. Which actually reminds me, Faith, during our December training, we were actually with, what was her name? Yeah.
Wait, can we mention her?
She was
a good friend.
She was a good friend. And she was truly a gem. Like, she felt, she had this welcoming energy. And she was so optimistic.
She's so sweet.
It's so sweet. And, you know, and I really appreciate the family that we built. Because we managed to not look at to look at it in those stereotypic way, but we gave it a welcoming. Yeah, I believe we did good. We are making a difference.
We did good.
Yeah. So when schools and workplaces make room for everybody, I believe that everybody wins. Like, different strengths and ideas make communities stronger. Inclusion benefits us all, let me not lie. I mean, I wouldn't want to be secluded and be like, no, you guys go here because this is where you belong, and you go here because this is where... I would feel like I'm not even human, which is not supposed to be like that.
Yeah.
So inclusion really benefits us all.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think, you know, there is a bit of a story that I have to tell, but... maybe a quick break and we'll get back to it.
Yeah, absolutely. We're going to go on. We're going to go for a short break and we'll come back to that discussion. Jeez, this dangerous combination of Gen Z language. You know, POV, clock it. I'm like, okay, you know what? I'm too old for this. They, you know, that's where we are right now in the Childline Lifeline program discussion of today, of this Friday. So we're going to take a break and we'll continue on the other side. Stay tuned.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and any of its
Eagle staff. FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngelo wapungwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoe ekukulile. Oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano hile koshuala. Onongeshe faa ya pumbo kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nuneudo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijagwiri nawa. Ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM. Onora etatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu batatu oma felane Eagle FM the eye.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud. So
not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Lipurane ngelo wapungwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko tete opoe ekukulile. Oshafafa na nongeshefa ili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshuana. Onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebi toda njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nune uto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamwiri nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora izatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile kumberewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu batatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome back. So we continue where we left off before the break. So we continue from there. And if you just tuned in, you are listening to Eagle FM, and this is the Witani Chatline radio program in collaboration with Eagle FM Radio. So today's discussion is differently abled people, and joining me in the studio to break that down is Elvis Masule and Phoenix Faith. Lady and gentlemen, the floor is yours.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you again so much for our reintroduction of our introductions. And where we left off was our topic of differently abled people and how to support them and just how we need inclusion in our society. I was going to tell a quick story, and I think I can tell it now. So please bear with me, and let's get into it. So the story is of how, oh my gosh, telling this story makes me realize how old I am. Back when I was in primary, I can't believe I'm not there anymore. But in sixth grade, there was a friend I had. Now, I'm not gonna... Okay, let's call him P. In sixth grade, I had a friend, P. He was a brilliant, funny, charismatic guy. And he was running for prefect. We had prefects. We have LRCs in primary.
LRCs, yeah.
So he was running for LRC at the time. But he could not become LRC because he is dyslexic.
What?
Yeah.
That is crazy work.
So the teacher straight up told him, hey, so you can't read or write. What example can you give to everyone else? No.
I am offended.
What? I know. I think I've told this story so many times. He's actually one of the reasons why I started Faith Abled Foundation. Because I was like, I was crashing out on his behalf. I was like, what do you mean she said no? You're so brilliant, and the way he thinks, he's so caring. And I was just super angry. So I decided, hey, I'm not going to wait for somebody to tell me how to do things. I'm going to make the difference. And my mom and I discussed this over the time. We were together in the pageant as well. So I took the opportunity. They said do a community project. I said, hey, community project it is. And till this day, I'm running with that same community project.
Yeah. I feel like me and some listeners would like to know the location of where this took place, because I feel like we have some business to settle here. Because what do you mean? You just tell me I can't run. Do you know that I love being in leadership roles, and to think that one day somebody out there would tell me that, no, Elvis, you can't do this because of this. Something that I actually have a passion for.
Exactly.
How would that make me feel? And I honestly feel bad on his behalf, because I wouldn't want that happening to me.
Exactly. And that brings us back to inclusivity. And you know, this is not only in schools, this is happening in workspaces where people can't advance to the next job, like bigger job title. They can't get that bag because somebody's stopping them. They can't get that title because somebody's stopping them because they believe that they are incompetent, or they're just not, no, you need a sympathetic role in our company, or you're just there because we want to look inclusive, but we're not actually, you know? So we need to really look at ourselves, look at your workspaces, look at your schools, look at the chain, look at the hierarchy. There shouldn't be a hierarchy, but if there is one, look at how you are placing your people, and look at the level or the scale of fairness that there is there. Is somebody a hard worker in a low role but can advance to a higher role because they have the qualities, and are you willing to give them that position that they so willingly will take because they deserve it? And will you give them that position because they're naturally hardworking, or will you look down on them because of their different ability? Because, hey, let's look at it. And this is where I'll expose a few people. Don't come after me, my family. But here comes our next topic on this, or like a subtopic on everybody has different abilities, a.k.a. strengths and talents.
Supporting children and peers all together. So, I love this topic. I love this topic because sometimes we focus too much on what people struggle with instead of what they're actually good at.
Exactly.
The truth is everyone has something special they bring to the table. That's my own point of view. Like, everybody has something they're good at. Like, we can't really compare two people. Like, say you bring this to the table, and
mm-hmm.
yeah. Because we all have our own strengths. So let's dive into that a bit.
Yeah. So here with the exposure, I'm going to leave some fun facts, you know, some breadcrumbs or Easter eggs, if you will. Now, at Faith Abled, we came up with the notion that it's normal disability. And I'm so glad it's becoming like a trend and a hashtag, because we need to spread it out there that the first step to inclusion is, of course, by the word itself. Saying disabled means you're off. When my phone is on flight mode, it says disable or enable. So you see, the name disability sounds so negative. It already makes me feel depressed and hungry and tired. So we changed the notion to different abilities. And with different abilities, it makes me feel like I have a superpower, man. I feel like I'm living in DC comics.
Superwoman.
Yes, because it's an ability. It's more empowering. So now, when you look at yourself, like, tell me, Elvis, this is just between you and I.
Yeah.
The mics are just, they're in your head. It's AI.
They're AI.
So, are you afraid of heights? Okay, I'm going to ask you questions and just answer.
Okay.
Are you afraid of heights?
Yes.
Are you afraid of deep waters?
Yes, creepy. What do you mean?
Are you afraid of being confined in a tiny space?
Claustrophobic, one of my phobias.
Yes. Are you afraid of spiders?
Oh my God, get them away from me, because what type of creature has eight legs and
those weird-looking eyes.
Oh, my days. For the spider lovers out there, we're sorry, but
hey,
get them away from me.
We love all creatures, but not everything is everybody's cup of tea.
Yeah.
So, thank you. You've passed our vibe check. You've passed the test. Because so far, I can gather, you have claustrophobia, arachnophobia. You are hydrophobic as well, just like me. And what did I say? You're afraid of heights. I can't remember which phobia that is. Yes, these are all phobias.
Let's call it heightophobia.
Yeah, heightophobia. I like that one. So when we look at all this, yes, they're phobias, but who says that isn't some sort of a disability? You know, I mean, different ability. That's a mental state. When somebody is mentally ill, they also fall somehow under different abilities. I think I saw that somewhere recently. And phobias deal with your mental space of being.
Mm-hmm.
I swim, yes. I can't swim. I cannot swim. When I swim, I think I'm swimming, but when I see the videos, I realize I'm just doing swish, swish, swish in one spot, and I look ridiculous. But it takes a lot of guts for me. I have to be breathing in the car when we're going to the pool, because if you throw me in a pool without me being ready or any large body of water, I'll panic. I'll drown, even if it's shallow water. Because the thought of it just gives me jitters. And when you're weak like that, or when you're claustrophobic, you can't, the moment you see an elevator close and it's not opening, you get sweat, you break down, your knees can't handle it, you're on the floor hyperventilating, you need support.
Mm-hmm.
So what makes you any different from somebody who needs support, again, from a crutch?
Yeah.
Because your crutch is maybe your medication,
yeah,
your anxiety pills. Your state of being is damaged because of your phobia. just like your body physically is damaged by your different ability.
Yeah.
So, you see, each of us, even if you don't have phobias, whatever it is, we are all flawed. We shouldn't make it, like I said, let's not do too much, hey?
Yeah.
We are all flawed. We all have those moments where you lose negative aura because, oh my gosh, it's a bug. Kill it. Kill it. My brother.
Oh, it, like for me in the house that like, since in the back home where we stay, it's like I live with my mom, my sisters, and my aunties. And apart from my little nephew, I'm the only guy in the house. So technically, I'm the only guy in the house.
Yeah,
the
man of the house.
Man of the house, you know. But now, man of the house, my mom made me laugh the other day. When I saw a cockroach moving from the cupboards, and I ran and I was screaming. I was like, get it away from it, kill it. And then now my mom is like, no. And after that, I was like, later that evening, I was like, I'm the man of the house. Then now
feeling
like,
yourself.
Yeah, feeling myself. And then my mom decides to remind me, oh my God, like, oh, man of the house.
Weren't you running there?
Weren't you running from the cockroach? Why are you running?
Why are you running? Are you don't run.
And I ran. Let me not lie. So, dear listeners, that is why it's important that we do not compare ourselves to other people. Mm-hmm. We all grow at different speeds and we all shine in different ways.
Exactly.
What you're capable of, somebody else is also capable of the same. Somebody else is capable of something better. Not that saying that what you're capable of isn't good, but somebody out there is capable of doing greatness, and we should not limit ourselves, even ourselves, because I feel like inclusion also, it has to begin from within, because you need to include yourself in society, and you need to make sure you tell yourself that I am enough. You need to tell yourself that I can do this before you get validation from somebody out there to say, you can, Elvis, you can, you can do this, or Elvis, you can do that. I have to wake up early in the morning, look in the mirror and be like, damn boy, you fine. And then when I get out here, I know I look fine. And then when Faith tells me, oh, Elvis, you're looking fine today, I'll be like, oh, thank you. And in my heart, I'll be like, tell me something I don't know. Because what do you mean? That's what we're supposed to inhabit in our daily lives.
Yes.
Telling yourself that you are good. Like, give yourself a break. You know, when there's my favorite song on Spotify, right now would be a song by Loiso, Give a Little Kindness. So he talks about giving a little kindness to yourself. So every day when you wake up, you need to tell yourself, what I did yesterday was good, and what I'm going to do today is going to be better, no matter how small it is. I mean, we all suffer from a lot of things, depression, insomnia, and just to mention but a few. And including our topic for today, differently abled people, we all have all that baggage in our bags. But if you keep telling yourself that that baggage is going to weigh you down, then you'll not move forward. But if you tell yourself, yesterday I managed to move 2 steps, that was great, Elvis, we did good. So tomorrow we move 2.5. To the next day, we move 3. Until we get to 100 listeners, that is how we roll.
Baby steps.
Baby steps.
Oh, guys, did you hear this man talking? This is my twin, guys. This is my twin. I'm so proud of hearing him. You know what? You need to volunteer. We people have so many upcoming events. We need nice volunteers who understand the purpose. And listeners, too. Please volunteer. That way you can make a small, you know, you can contribute your 2 cents, as they say on 99FM, my other radio station which I support. But Eagle FM, thank you so much for having us. We were so happy, listeners, we're so happy that you got this message. And if you can, whenever you feel down or whenever you feel even happy, look at yourself. Go find that chapter in the Bible where it says you are beautifully and wonderfully made. Like Elvis says, Well, like my mom says also, charity begins at home. Maybe it's because her name is Charity, but she's forever telling me charity begins at home. You can't want to put the oxygen mask on somebody else if you can't wait yourself first. Save yourself, then you save everyone else. And you know, I'm looking at myself now. I'm not looking at myself really, but I'm feeling the pain in my knee. And when I was running back here, it started there when my knee was just really hurting. And I might need a crutch. And another small thing I'd like to touch on is that different abilities, this can happen to anybody. My knee injury, for now, if it gets bad, I might need a crutch. And then I will qualify to be handicapped.
Yeah.
And if I get in a car accident, God forbid, or if something happens, because these things, they do happen, mm-hmm. you will need to be hospitalized. And when you get discharged, you will need to be in a wheelchair until you're ready to walk on your own.
Yeah.
You don't know how long that's going to take. Something that needs to take 1 week can maybe take 2 weeks, 3 weeks. You might get infected. Hell, you might need to amputate the leg. Then mm-hmm. what? You find yourself living in freaking Beverly Hills. Your house is 8 stories high, stairs. There's no ramp. There's no elevator. You see, there's a really big need to think forward, a really big need to build strategically.
Yeah.
And yes, whether it's cost effective or not, like I always like to say, the best shampoo is a bit expensive, but you can see the result.
Yeah, very much.
Your house with a ramp will even look bougier. I love going down the ramp, even with my little two legs. It's just so fun. But it's going to cost a bit, but you never know when it will come and help you in the future.
Yeah.
So dear listeners, build with intention of protecting yourself, protecting your elders. My grandmother can't come visit me because the house has stairs. See? And mm-hmm. she's at that age where the knees ain't kneeing like they used to.
They ain't like, like.
So?
Yeah. So, the one thing I would like to say to the listeners out there, for anybody who might need it, is if somebody does things differently, that's okay. Different doesn't mean less.
Exactly.
It just means different. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can all learn something from each other. Like right now, I think there are a few words. Let me just admit, there are a few words or a few terms that I just learned from Faith today.
Really?
I will not mention them because, you know, you gotta keep the aura 1,000.
Yeah, okay.
So just know that. So there's a lot of things that we can learn from each other. I mean, imagine a Namibia where every child feels seen, valued, and encouraged to reach their full potential.
Oh, heaven.
That's the kind of future we are all working towards, if I might say so.
Yeah.
Because I would want to live there. Take me there. It's like the way that I want to go to, that I want to go live in Paris.
Oh,
yeah, that
Belly.
Way. Yeah, that way that I want to go live in Paris. This is the type of Namibia that we want. A place
exactly.
where.
Hold on! Just let me finish my story. As I was saying, I was. My man, you've been finishing your story for 10 minutes now. Even my chassis is getting warm. Just keep my eyes. Anyways, long story short.
Oh, hi. When you're talking, it's a short story long.
Short stories turn long. Go best together with Tassenberg. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. Just let me finish my story. As I was saying, I was...
Oh, my man, you've been finishing your story for 10 minutes now. Even my chassis is getting warm.
Just keep my eyes. Anyways, long story short.
Oh, hi. When you're talking, it's a short story long.
Short stories turn long. Go best together with Tassenberg. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Okay. Well, dear listeners, you've heard this dynamic duo, Yap and Yap. Hey, we weren't just yapping. We were on fire. We were in flow state. If you're listening, thank you so, so much. And we hope that this session has been insightful, that you'll take a few things home with you and that you'll ponder on them if we hit a nerve. So, so sorry if we did. But thank you for your time. Thank you for listening. And thank you, Elvis, for being such a great co-host. It's awesome being here in studio with you.
All my days, like, it's like a dream. I always wanted to, you know, even when I was back in holiday, I was like, when am I going to meet Faith again? When are we going to be in studio again together? And that dream came through today. And we give a big thanks to Childline Lifeline for making it possible in collaboration with UNICEF too, for making every youth's voice heard and for making these conversations possible. And we thank FM for having us here today, because it has been very wonderful.
Yeah.
And it gave us a chance to show that, you know, different is good.
Yep.
Because we bring different vibes to the table, but there's a point where they meet and they just create something great. They create a fire, like,
yes,
absolute smoke. I was wondering why the mics in front of us are not burning up, because we were cooking.
We were cooking. That's the best way to put it.
Yeah.
You know, as my favorite artist, or like Martin from Cortis says, to be cringe is to be free. And I believe in that, to be different. I'm just peculiar like that. Some people find it good, other people find it weird. But that is the takeaway, guys. To be cringe is to be free, to quote the great Martin. And from this session, our last takeaway is standing together in Namibia for a more inclusive, not only Windhoek, but the entire nation. We should stick together and we should be one. So stick around, guys. You will find us back here one Friday. So don't let your ears run off. Keep listening, Eagle FM listeners. And thank you so much for having us. We are done.
Thank you so much, listeners, for tuning in to our program. So if you ever need somebody to talk to, Childline Lifeline Namibia is just a free call away, 106, that's the number that can help save a life. If not for you, maybe for somebody you know, 106, that's the number. So remember, you are never alone. And Faith, before we go,
mm-hmm.
Not to disregard the quote by Martin.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you already know. Do you know what is secondhand embarrassment?
Oh,
you cannot. You cannot do in this generation. They will make a meme out of you. Like,
ouch,
you say something cringy.
Ouch.
Like, you wanna be free, but they will record you, and then the next thing you know, you are trending on Facebook.
No, you're so old, Unc.
No, I almost said Facebook, but you know, that's the app where
things
the other people live.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but yeah, on Instagram and TikTok.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, for girls who like Pinterest, I wonder what the hype is about. But
hey guys, next time we're in studio, attack this guy for saying he doesn't know where the hype is. But ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much. 116, 106, those are the lines to talk to us.
All right, that was a wonderful conversation on differently enabled people. And you have been listening to Witani Childline radio program. And that is, thank you for tuning in and thank you for listening. And a shout out to Elvis Masule and Phoenix Faith and Childline Lifeline for bringing this wonderful program here on Eagle FM. And but most importantly, you don't worry, we're not going to leave you out. Thank you too for tuning in. So until next Friday, like Faith pointed out, see you on that one. So we're going to take a quick break and we'll continue with Home Run on the other side. Stay tuned.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Ipurane ngelo wapumbwa Eva Tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi inawa. Nuneudo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarudi kayo loka. Opone ushendi fenawa nukumona oijamwiri nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora etatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali. Ile konderewa, mura hetatu natu, bali o hetatu batatu, o mafilane, Eagle FM, the eye.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person that does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Welcome. Now, let's talk about rich people problems. Today's home run subject being stars tourism or night tourism. I don't know why I keep calling it that, but it's actually called astro tourism.
Yeah.
Astro tourism. Astra is Latin. It's Latin for star. They could just have said, star tourism, but, they decided to bring English and then Latin and then combine them together, but that's not new to English. It turns out,
what's that last part of your sentence, Hamut? What did you say?
It turns out, that's English with a Timbukusho accent.
Yeah, a Dibundu with a Dibundu location.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, it turns out, light is somewhat of a problem because a lot of countries that have reached a very high level of urbanization. There's a lot of something known as light pollution that happens. So they don't have the luxury to witness the dark night sky like we witness the village. So a lot of them now find themselves having to travel to different countries where they can be in isolated areas. This is isolated in terms of as far as they can get from urban areas.
Yeah.
So that they can just watch the good old dark night sky, brightened by nothing but celestial bodies. And this is becoming a very significant thing. And I found something interesting. One of the most renowned, night sky viewing institution on the African continent is found in Namibia. So I was very happy in the beginning and then found out that it's privately owned. which is, I'm still 50% happy, but it's, I'm just happy that we have it on the, you know, well, we can post about that.
Okay. An interesting thing is also, Helmut, that actually today's discussion also provides an opportunity if people are trying to find a business idea. You can, we're not telling you to steal.
No.
Since we're sharing it already, you know, for free. But it's actually an opportunity that you can tap into wherever you find yourself, specifically if you're in a rural community.
Yeah.
Specifically if you're a farmer who's trying to find an additional
business idea
or source of income. Or if you're just a town that has a very good, or let me say low light pollution present, wherever you find yourself, your locality. Because the whole idea is actually a combination of a few factors. So, the UN Tourism Organization discovered through private sector, and this is a funny thing, Ahmed, through private sector data collection and trend analysis tools, for example, like the Booking.coms, the TripAdvisors.
The Booking.com kept popping up all the time.
Yeah, Booking.com and TripAdvisor in the executive summary highlighted to them that there's a whole bunch of people in the world, guys, who are traveling just to see a different night sky.
Yeah.
They can't see it in their cities because there's just too many lights.
Yeah.
Probably there might be some safety concerns, for example, because it's densely populated areas.
Yeah.
And then they decide to go fly to a whole new country just to go sit somewhere, you know, in the bush and then just look up at the sky. An interesting thing that forms part of this, immediately when I sat there reading the report, it's not a report. It has a reporting function, but it's actually a policy. No, it's actually an industry development document or an industry advising document. That's technically what this document is. And looking back at like our lives as Namibians, we are technically spoiled, guys, that we haven't thought about this idea earlier. There was this funny... Okay, it's not funny. Okay, I call it funny, but because it's weird. Because it technically is a weird thing to do. It's a weird activity to start. There's a whole bunch of here local Vintukers, Helmut, that went and started. Have you ever heard of the silent music experience? The silent concerts? Concerts. You know,
that's very contradictory.
It's a bunch of people that show up at one spot, né? Like someone's backyard or someone's lawn or in a public space, and everybody's wearing these headphones that you have, wireless headphones.
Yeah, yeah.
And you can listen to whatever song. No one is listening to the same song. A few might be listening to the same song.
Yeah.
No one is listening to the same song. And then...
Yeah, silent disco, I think I've heard, you know.
Yeah,
I've heard
it's either silent club, silent concert, silent disco, stuff like that. But everybody's got their own little wireless headset on.
So the music is tailored to...
And you're just vibing it out there. I mean, I'm using Gen Z the descriptions. And you're just vibing it out there.
Yeah.
Now, the downside of that is, Helmut, first and foremost, you understand one side, but it also takes away the whole reason why clubs existed like in yesteryear. And I call them yesteryear because... Well, I don't go to clubs anymore. And specifically after I realized that no one dances anymore in a club. The last time I went to a club, people were looking at each other like this.
No one dances anymore.
People were standing, bruh. People were just standing on the dance floor, looking at each other like this. And me and my friend, the two of us, we're now, you know, throwing busting moves there, 30 plus some things. But we were looking like the out crowd because now suddenly, why these two older people busting
like
moves?
When last did... You know, did this happen?
Yeah. Why are two older people busting moves here?
Yeah.
The sad thing was, we weren't even drunk.
Jeez.
We were just enjoying ourselves. That's it. Now, okay, my friend, just to be honest, she's actually a dance instructor. She teaches just here across from us. She teaches salsa. Not promoting her, just showing that this is someone that dances.
Why didn't you tell me that a long time ago? I love ballroom dances.
That she can teach you that as well.
Well, the thing is, for those type of dances, you need a partner. And more often, every time that I try to get a dance partner, they are all taller than me, which is,
There's nothing wrong with that.
It's a little tricky to rotate.
As long as you can just throw the hips, and do the thing. And that's also a different kind of a tourism, guys.
Look, I've seen those dances.
I'm just letting you
know. Yeah, so...
there's a lot of potential.
Yeah. Go on.
Yeah. So, if you look at how trends have happened, one of the current trends happening currently is that people, look at me using current in the same sentence twice. One of the developments currently playing out is that there are people trying to get away from city life, wherever they are across the world.
Yeah.
And in many scenarios, all they want to do is just to be out in nature. Now, please, it's not advisable for you to go and be out at nature in Kunene. We don't want more scenarios of what happened to that unfortunate businessman, that local Namibian businessman last year. And the only thing he wanted to do was just to go and basically use the toilet behind a tree. But if you are deciding to camp, to get out of the hustle and bustle of a city and the city life, usually, just outdoors experiences are one of the biggest, avenues. And it doesn't cost you anything in many scenarios. Now, that obviously also depends at which station of life you are and where you find yourself. Because if you find yourself in a village or on a farm, you'd be sick and tired of the bush. If you find yourself, in a small town, you'd be bored out of your mind. And if you find yourself in a city like Windhoek or at the coast, you'd be bothered about, how much your work takes up your personal time and space as well, and whether or not you've actually got time for yourself to do these other extracurricular activities outside of your work time frame. So, nighttime tourism, or even just nighttime activities that don't include anything alcohol,
mm-hmm.
that doesn't mean going to a bar, that is not based upon a massive congregation somewhere for a short time of, just relaxation.
Yeah.
I'm talking about purely just sitting outside in the bush, not around a fire, but just looking at the stars. This is an avenue that exists. And I'll tell you, Helmut, we technically had something like that back in the 80s.
You know what?
In Namibia.
Go ahead.
In Namibia. No, I'm done. I'll just leave it there.
This is something that I grew up doing. In summer, let me just say, it's mostly done in winter because, you don't want to be chased in the middle of the night when it starts raining.
Yeah.
Yeah, but more often in winter when where you don't have a lot of, cloud cover, you don't have expect any type of rainfall stuff. What happens a lot, especially in my culture, because I can only address it from that point of view, is sometimes you will find people that they have their houses. They have their houses. Yeah. But sometimes they will intentionally just set up a bed outside for the night.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
if you can combat the mosquitoes.
You have mosquito nets. Because if you don't have, you have to set one up. Otherwise, they're going to throw a party. But
did you see that meme, the one that I sent you, about every time when it gets to Namibia's summer season, and then the moment the light goes off, how the mosquitoes start having a music concert around the guy's ears?
There's one Zambian song that went viral because of that.
It's that song.
Oh, Amoya Amoye. Oh man, that thing, thing sent me rolling on the floor. But the thing is, one thing you find beautiful about that is, you will wake up, sometimes you will wake up in the middle of the night and the fire had gone off. Now, when the fire is off and then you're just, you're just gazing into the night sky and you're just watching all the celestial bodies and more like the large part of the disk of the Milky Way galaxy, which is what you see like a stream, like a congestion of stars.
Yeah.
Yeah, in the middle of the night. you realize that it rotates. Actually, when you talk to a lot of elders, especially in my culture, they will tell you that, the position of, I don't know what's called, for some reason, you know, for the first time, and I'm so proud of me, for the first time, I know something in my language, I don't know it in English. More often, it's the other way around.
Which is what?
It's
the North Star.
Not the North Star. There's pictures that.
Or is it Venus?
Venus is the first one that pops up during sunset. And for a while I thought it was a star until someone told me actually that's not a star. Mm. Yeah. What do you call that?
A constellation.
Yeah, a constellation, not cancellation. Now. A constellation.
Why are you telling not a cancellation?
I know. No, I'm just asking. So now, here's the thing. What happens is you actually get to enjoy views like that. And I think because we are still a developing country and, every December we get to go to the village or every now and then, we have this place called the village, which is basically moving away from urban areas. Mm. And then we get to experience this dark night, unlit skies. And I don't think we understand how beautiful and exotic it is because we're not born and raised in in metropolis that are going on stretching for kilometers where you have somewhere around 6 o'clock all the lights comes on. Mm. Yeah, 6 o'clock in the evening, all the lights come on, and then those lights are lighting maybe until 6-7 o'clock the next day.
Yeah.
So you don't actually get to experience the beauty of the night sky. So I don't think we, I don't think we understand, just how a lot of people that live in large cities of the world, is in a lot of developing countries, are actually willing to travel and pay a lot of money, spend a lot of money as part of these travel expenses, just to come and see something that we see every day.
Yeah.
Now, one of my favorite story when it comes to this is something that happened in Los Angeles in 1994. In 1994, the city of Los Angeles was hit by a 6.7 magnitude earthquake. Now, that earthquake knocked off a large part of the power grid. So a large part of the city was left without lights. And because of the tremor now, that's a very intense tremor. So a lot of people came out of their houses. So a lot of people basically started chatting to their neighbors. And a bunch of people now freaked out after they looked at the sky for the first time and saw constellations and stars and all the things that you'd basically expect to see in the middle of the night on a clear sky, during a clear sky.
Mm.
People called the police.
I know.
People called the police because they thought it was an alien invasion.
Yes.
My question is, how long were these guys exposed to light pollution to consider nature alien?
Okay, Helmut, use the other story that you told me about as well, that you also shared here on air.
Yeah.
About our mutual acquaintance who took his girlfriend.
Oh, yeah.
And did the exact same thing. And
look,
it was classified as the most romantic experience. But like I said a little bit earlier, we know this. You know this as a Namibian. We all know this.
Look, for her, it was a beautiful sky.
Yes.
It was just a beautiful sky. Look, it was very beautiful. We had dinner under the stars. Oh, no, we had dinner under the moon.
For many of us, that is a regular dinner sometimes, which is a braai. Make a fire, throw a few
steaks. It turns out in Germany, it's a luxury.
In your flip-flops or even barefoot, in a shorty. Hey, the bar is lonely.
So what you're telling me is
the bar's low, bruh.
It's that low.
The bar's low.
Let me get this straight.
I'm realizing this now. The bar is super low.
Let me get this straight. What you're telling me is for me to spoil you, all I have to do is take it to the village.
And all you have to do is just be natural.
Yeah, just be natural and
just be yourself.
First of all, you have a night sky. And I know some of the best places with the best waterfalls. So to some of these guys,
none of them,
none,
but they are there.
So to some of these guys, I'll be Mr. Romantic.
Yeah.
Had no idea.
You'll be Casanova.
Jeez.
You'll be Govango East Casanova.
You know what? I'm noting that down.
Okay, I'll
move. Yeah. So you have others that want to go to Dubai and others want to go to my village to have a good time.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think it's about exposure for a very long time. You know, for a very long time. Okay, a long time of not experiencing nature, you know, has a way of more like when you see it after a long time of not being experiencing it, it brings, you know, it brings out a whole different feel.
Yeah.
Yeah. So whether it's, you know, you being in the middle of the woods or just, you know, just streams of water, or streams of water of just watching the night sky that's not polluted by any type of light.
Mm-hmm.
Now, just sitting here talking about this makes me go like, hang on a second. People are paying a lot of money to basically travel the world to see a dark night sky.
Yes.
Dark night sky.
Yes.
Yeah. We're talking about urbanization and the mission three, you know, mission 300 to electrify, you know, to electrify the whole African continent and develop it, you know.
Isn't that Millennium 300? No, mission. Yes,
no,
right.
It's mission 300.
Yeah.
So you have a lot of people from developed countries that are going, oh, guys, please, no. I mean, we already did the urbanization. What we want is for you not to urbanize so we can come there and see the night sky. Why can't they just schedule time with their municipalities to keep, you know, switch off the lights at some point?
Because people will be unhappy, Helmut.
So not everyone wants the same.
You just explained the unhappiness, Helmut. People will be unhappy the moment the lights go off.
No, look, when look, you know something, you know, you need occasional more like interaction with nature when fully grown men and women are calling the police to report stars
as aliens,
mm-hmm.
reporting them as UFO,
yeah,
as a UFO invasion.
Yeah, I mean, if you never saw them, you might think that.
Well, actually, you were in that country, you know that.
Which country is this?
That's where they reported it.
The US of A,
they
report many things there.
They'll report everything.
Wow, you know, yeah. Let's not throw sand.
Throw them under the bus.
Yeah.
We're just talking about the 6.7 magnitude earthquake that hit Los Angeles in 1994 at 4 o'clock in the morning, and for a very long time, I think a lot of people were exposed to the dark night sky because the earthquake knocked up a large part of their power grid. Therefore, they didn't have light, so they looked at the sky, and a lot of them were terrified. They called the police.
Yeah, I mean the creatures of the night, as they say, is the source of many many folk tales. You know, people say things like when people say they saw
UFOs.
No, we have a break coming up.
When it comes to managing your investments, should you rely on one expert or a team of specialists? With a multi-managed portfolio from Alex Forbes, your funds are guided by carefully selected investment experts working together to pursue more consistent outcomes. We pair the right managers behind the scenes so you don't have to manage multiple relationships. Strengthen your investment destination. Visit alexforbes.com today.
Alex Forbes Namibia is registered and regulated by NAMFISA.
Thirty minutes into the hour of five, I'm running with Helmut and Dwight and HD joining us for today because he's that interested in also, you know, in stars. So, HD.
Yeah, no, I just wanted to join because, you know, I heard you guys were talking about
astrotourism.
About astrotourism, first time I'm even hearing of such a term. But it does make sense if you, I mean, I'm sure we've all been outside of Windhoek in the bush at night, what the skyline looks like. You know, many people from first worlds have never seen that. I mean, even if you live in Windhoek, the sky is like a, It's not even dark. It's like a light.
It's actually even clear.
Yeah, it's pretty much enough. A clear sky. Like, there's so much light pollution, and that's just Windhoek. So you can think about, you know, any major city, you can think of what the sky looks like there. So to be able to see the sky in full darkness is quite the experience, and I understand why people pay to do that.
There's actually an interesting reason why they, it's interesting why they pay to do that, but there's also an interesting reason similar to that of why they pay, particularly Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
According to, a document I found on, ResearchGate, one thing they pointed out was, because they have a whole section on Namibia's astrotourism.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing they pointed out was dark sky tourism in Namibia, the second least densely populated country in the world. Namibia has minimal light pollution, and it's therefore very well suited for dark sky experience. Namibia is vast with a wide array of climate. Some areas Sossus Valley is used there as an example. Rarely experienced cloud cover year round. And thus, clear and dark skies can be found during wet summer seasons.
Mm-hmm.
Now, a few lodges, then they just dive into one area, which is a private institution, which they point out that, let me just make sure, a few lodges and astro farms, that was actually my first time to hear that word, astro farms already take advantage of the country's pristine skies.
Yep.
Now, which are especially attractive to amateur astronomers and astrophotographers, like yours truly. Now, Africa's first international dark sky reserve can also be found in Namibia. And
we have a dark sky reserve?
Yeah.
What is a dark sky reserve?
How do you conserve a dark sky?
Make sure you can imagine it's as far as it can be located from the nearest urban areas, because what you want is you don't want any light pollution, because anyone that's interested in viewing a dark sky, they want a minimal, they don't want to be dealing with any light pollution.
Yeah, you can walk 5 kilometers in each direction outside of Windhoek. You'll have that dark sky.
But it won't be that dark still. You still have to go a bit far. You can still see the light from Windhoek.
You want to be,
No, you don't want to be seeing the light of Windhoek.
Yeah.
Saying the light of Windhoek will still affect how much light is in the sky. So you need to be secluded, like,
okay, so that's
in a radius of 50 kilometers of no light.
So that's from photographer perspective?
Yes.
Oh.
Okay, but then, in a photographer's perspective, you need low light technology, technically, or the settings on the camera,
to capture the sky.
You need to play around with your settings.
Yeah.
So because if you go out into the darkness and you look up, you'll be able to see the Milky Way and all of that.
Mm.
But with the camera, those crazy pictures that you see online, that's not what the human eye sees.
Yeah.
So that's why you need a particular camera, and you need to put on particular settings. You know, they call it long exposure.
Yeah.
So meaning the camera lens is open for a long time, so a lot of light pollutes into the camera, and then that's how we get these beautiful images, because we can't see that with our eyes. Our eyes can't stay open long enough and take in the amount of light needed for you to see these crazy silhouettes of the sky and stuff. So even the guys that go out there and take those photos, they still have to go into Photoshop or whatever editor they use, mm-hmm, to still increase that exposure to make the stuff pop out even more.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just for people who obviously want to do the amateur stuff, don't use your Android. Okay, if it's the high level Androids, don't use the lower ones where I am.
What are you talking about? You can take a picture of the moon with your Android. Now, whoever made that AI, just
No. There's also a little bit of a myth behind which one of the Samsung.
I think that whole thing was AI generated.
No. It's if you start from the highest Samsung, it can take that photo, up to a certain phone. I tried that experiment. Yeah. That is a bogus experiment. I don't know what people wanted to do just to the iPhone guys.
No, it was just exactly. That's one of those.
To make the iPhone people feel bad.
Clutching heads.
Please, guys, let's not overhype something. Eh?
Yeah, look, but I think for professional images, so like professional pictures, like what HD is talking about.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You need something high end beyond a smartphone.
Yeah. Because what he now explained basically was, it's a thing of the shutter.
Yeah.
If it's a shutter that it uses the new ones, the new cameras. But the new cameras is all about, since it's a low light setting, meaning you're at night, the thing takes a little bit longer to capture everything. Now, when you use your phone, it has got an AI photo. These new phones come with an AI image enhancing tech. And then it if that thing takes a photo, it's what your eye is seeing, basically, versus what HD now explained. Okay, some phones...
Cool. Yeah, no, some phones have like an exposure of maximum of like 15 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, some of these pictures that you see from the professionals, it's pictures where the camera is open for anywhere from 30 seconds up to 5 minutes, 3 hours. I saw one he had his open for like 72 hours or something.
And that's just to capture low light.
So that's those pictures where you see like literal galaxies.
Yeah.
That's because they have cameras that can stay open for hours on end.
Yeah. So it's, imagine it's like someone drawing everything in the photo before it snaps the image. That's what the camera is doing. So the camera has to stay open and absorb
as much detail as possible. Yeah.
Then it captures the image of what it took a photo of. So that's one activity that HD just now explained, dear listeners, specifically of tourism, because nighttime tourism, okay, I have to share something back in 2022, when, what was it, the Dutch Prime Minister and the Danish Prime Minister, when they came here to visit President Geingob, when the MOU between UNAM and Radboud University was signed, the professor who visited from Radboud on the piece, it's a Dutch university, he explained that because of the exact same thing that HD now explained, Namibia's particular position and also the low light influences from other urban settlements provides for good scientific research, specifically of the university, to take place. And then later in that week, later that same day, or was it the next day, the Thursday, I went to the Namibia Scientific Society where they hosted him for a presentation about black holes, because his expertise is about observing black holes.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not saying you, as the everyday Namibian there with the potential to find a business idea in this discussion, should now go and invest massive money on telescopes just to attract scientists. They will do that from wherever they are. You have the opportunity of presenting the other example that Hamel and I spoke about, firelit, dinners in the bush. But anyway, astrotourism also forms a part of the scientific dimension, because our skies interest a lot of people in the northern hemisphere.
Mm-hmm.
It's us and Chile.
Yeah, a lot of professionals come to Namibia
to do
astrophotography. I recently saw a story from a guy from Spain. I have his name. His name is Alex Roig. And he said, like, we have, one of the best dark skies for astrophotography. So
That's the nature reserve that we have, the first of its kind in Africa.
Why is it in Russian, Helmut?
There's a nature reserve there in English, right?
What is
the
name, Helmut? Namabrand. Oh, Namabrand Nature. Okay. Yeah. So that's...
So you can even see how they put their set up.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it's just tables and no lights. Tables in the bush. Or is that a building?
Those are beds. Not the flying one, the one you sleep on. I know my pronunciation of words. I'm...
I thought it was a table. I thought it literally was a table.
So you can just see that, the way they set up their, their environment is they set it up, at a very, at an open area. Where they are trying to minimize any type of light pollution.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So it turns out because of Namibia's a large landmass and sparsely populated, country, that means there's a lot of areas that they basically get to do this. Yeah, and that private reserve is one of those areas that's basically always comes up when you look up astrotourism in Africa.
There's even a surprising thing there, guys, that even if you drive at night, specifically from Windhoek outwards, certain parts it gets okay. If you've never seen it, or you accidentally switched off your lights while driving at night. I'm not saying you should. It's an unsafe thing to do because you don't know what you might drive into.
Yeah.
But the scenario from what you even see between urban centers in Namibia has the potential for this particular activity. It's a bit weird. I'll put it out now. It's a bit weird to pitch it to a fellow Namibian,
mm-hmm.
primarily because a fellow Namibian is already exposed to the thing. We know the thing as like breathing, you know, it's wherever you stay, mm-hmm. if it's on a farm or on a small town, you would know what, the night sky looks like.
Yeah.
To me, this primarily explains a discussion of mostly European North American people coming to sparsely populated places. Because imagine a place that like Mongolia, because Mongolia was the second, the other...
It's the first...
First sparsely populated country.
We're second.
We're number two.
Yeah.
The dimension with Mongolia's people is like the whole country is almost one communal land area in Mongolia.
Because
mm-hmm.
everybody can stay where they want. So they would know what the natural sky looks like. When you come to a place like Namibia, now you have to find which space you can access.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have access to the place? For example, if it's in a village in a communal land area... If it's a private farm, like you explained now, that Namibrand is a farm.
Yeah.
It was a former commercial farm. Technically still is a farm. Now it's just a full-on, because it's now a nature reserve. So it's a couple of farms together. Mm. If it's a town with open spaces, for example, I know Divundu would have spaces between like buildings and stuff.
Yeah.
And street lights and stuff would not flood over like the view.
Like you see in urban areas. Like
yeah, because you can still stand within the town limits and look up and then you'll still see a few stars.
Yeah.
And then it's a setting also of who do you attract? Because now we all know you can't be opening up an activity. Let's say it's families and the people have kids and the kids need to be in bed by 8. But the best time to view the night sky would be from 8 or from 8:30.
Mm-hmm.
So it's also a dimension how you balance what kind of a customer you attract in this activity.
Mm-hmm.
For example, like with the silent concerts that I explained at the start, everybody with their headphones on, which is a bit weird because it looks like a bunch of crazy people just there dancing
does,
and silent.
It really does make you look.
Yeah, it really does. It's a nice concert. It's a nice concept for introverts, but it's a weird concept for a public event.
Yeah.
Because it looks like a bunch of introverts who don't want to interact with each other, but they're actually interacting with each other doing the same thing, which is also a little bit of a confusing thing, because then if you're an introvert, why are you outside? Why do you wish to feel part of something? But anyway, each one unto their own.
Yeah.
The interesting thing that the UN tourism cited here also, and I'm just sticking for now to the executive summary, they explain here that they partnered up with a foundation that is like an NGO, international one, that aims to teach astronomy and, space and all that other kinds of knowledge sets to everybody. But the interesting thing that they explain is that the concept draws on three complementary perspectives, which is scientific study, meaning making the night sky or the sky an interesting everyday topic for people to become interested in.
Yeah.
This could try and reinforce, some sort of an educational perspective from the everyday educational realm of a country. A second scenario would be looking at the cultural and historical importance of celestial knowledge, meaning like that thing that you explained about the constellation when you asked me what is its name. What is its Thimbukushu name, Mahmoud?
Murarambinda.
Murarambinda.
Yeah.
Okay. So.
Excellent.
Yeah, because I can listen, Helmut. I listen. No, it's not like the ladies that I dated when I said my name and I say Dwight, they go Dwight, Dwight, huh? Dweet, Dwight, Twat. Boy. I'm like, what are you hearing? I'm standing in front of you. What words are you hearing? But anyway.
I would have gone with get your ears checked, but that would not have gone well on a date, I imagine.
Yeah, well, there was a better boomer activity than that, you know, just slap against the head, but I'm not for violence right now. Slightly more grown up. So celestial knowledge and historical and cultural influences in that particular dimension. And then there's the last one, the appreciation of the... The last one is the appreciation of the night sky as part of natural heritage. Mm-hmm. And things like the living museums that Namibia has,
yeah.
You know, like the sun groups, the people there in the Zambezi, the groups in
Kunene, yeah.
They all would tell you nighttime stories and specifically influences of, like, you know, technically they're folk tales, aka fairy tales, in terms of interactions and stuff like that. And African fairy tales are pretty interesting stuff because they teach you a lesson there. And, you know, if you want a realm of a very short story around a braai, not a braai, technically, it's just a little bonfire,
yeah,
which is usually big, not little, then nighttime stories in that setting, under night sky, you're looking up at the stars, but you won't be seeing the stars if you're sitting at the fire.
No, you still can.
Yeah, you still can.
If you're in complete darkness, you'll still see them. If the fire is your only light source, you'll still see them.
If the fire is not too big, meaning it doesn't stretch past your, like, your head while you're sitting, like we're sitting right now, you'll have to build one heck of a fire.
You'll have to build one heck of a fire. Now, when it comes to folk tale type of stories around the fire,
yeah.
And I grew up around that, and that's a good thing, about being in a developing country, I think, because you get exposed to a lot of things that, you know, a lot of urbanized country, you know, take as a luxury.
Yeah.
Because, you know, every time that I watch movies and they, you know, and the characters or like the, you know, the family in the movie are talking about, let's go camping, and we'll do nothing but sit around the fire playing a guitar. I'm going there like, okay.
That's a bit dramatic, but yeah.
The thing is, when it comes to telling stories,
yeah,
there are grannies that will tell you stories that are scary. And they will explain everything in details that is so vivid, you'll be scared to go to your room alone.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, can you imagine seeing a shooting star for the first time? Like, what you would think is happening up there? If you didn't, like, have knowledge of shooting stars?
Well, you would just think it's a rock falling.
Yeah.
Who threw a rock in the sky?
Yeah, no one is going to think it's a rock. They start saying, okay, now.
I just got flashbacks, you know, of the kinds of stories that we were told as kids when the elder siblings and the elder cousins and your elder siblings decided, you know, now's the best time to start with the ghost stories. And then you're like, brah, why? Who has to walk from here 300 meters there in the darkness to go and sleep?
Look, I don't think, this keeps bringing us to, we are exposed to, I mean, for us, we see it every day.
Yeah.
We can see it at any time. All we just have to do is hop in a car, go to the village for a weekend, and it's there. Mm-hmm. But for a lot of countries that are, you know, that have this very large urban metropolis, they don't have that luxury. Mm-hmm. And most of them don't actually have the source of income that enables them to live, like, outside of town. So you have all these apartment complexes. And when you're in an apartment, depending on where your room is located, and if you're surrounded by even more apartments, the night sky is not something that you see.
Yeah.
No, you don't even look up.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you know, so your sky becomes, you're silly. So for us, like you just pointed out, so it's something that is very good to boost up, to be a significant part of tourism, but it's more tailored to those that don't have, those that live in mostly urbanized countries.
This particular document, this policy document, sounds more, now that I think about it after reading it, it sounds more like a...
The UN tourism one?
Yeah, sounds more like a cultural tourism advisory document. It's literally telling you, if you've got night skies that people can still see stars, constellations, and even the individual constellations itself, go and do it.
And you see, when a lot of people travel for this type of activities, they are coming with high-end cameras for the photography purposes, obviously, and a lot of them are coming with telescopes because they want to do. There are certain celestial bodies that they would like to observe that they can't observe in their countries because of all the ground light pollution. Mm. So they need a place that is as dark as possible to expose the night sky, so they whatever specific celestial body that they're observing can be observed properly.
Mm-hmm. The funny thing is that even NASA's people say, and okay, I knew this, I just didn't want to say it yet, but it also depends where you are on the Earth.
Yeah.
And that thing that you explained a little bit earlier, how time moves.
Yeah.
You might start with Venus or the North Star this side,
mm-hmm.
and then if you wake up while sleeping under that night sky, or you fell asleep, you wake up and then you'll find out that
Venus is on the other side.
Your sky has technically moved to your right hand side.
Yeah.
Don't freak out, like Hende said, if you see a shooting star, don't freak out. It's just how the Earth moves, basically. But yeah, these developments, will always happen.
Yeah. And another interesting thing about star photography is a lot of people do it for the, what's the word when you're contemplating your existence?
Philosophic?
No, not philosophic.
What? Suicidal?
No.
No, come on, is it?
No.
Well, that's what a lot of those people go through.
You're not contemplating your existence.
Not contemplating, but
you're contemplating ending your existence. That's
You're like conceptualizing your place in the universe. There's a word for it that I just can't get now.
The meaning of life.
No, but there's a word for
that discussion.
Yes. So you're able to fully grasp how small we are in the major landscape of things. And when you look up and you see skies, you must know you're looking into the past, technically.
Yeah.
Because that light you see is as it was millions or however many years ago.
Mm-hmm.
So that's another reason people do star photography and all of that, is for that that mental exercise. I just can't think of the word. I don't know why the word is escaping me. But yeah, you start to.
They say it's known as the meaning of life and the origin question.
No, I know whoever's listening can think of the word.
Is it introspection? I can go with that.
It's a sort of introspection,
So you just want to look at nature.
Existentialism?
What now?
Existentialism.
Oh.
Existentialism.
Yeah, you start having existential thoughts, is what I want to say. To be like, okay, I'm on Earth, the universe is so grand, so big, look at all these.
Yeah.
I think that's what every Namibian goes through, since you're in Namibia.
Not when you think about money. That's a whole different thing.
No, every Namibian goes through those thoughts.
Yeah, look, in the middle of the month, every Namibian go through that.
No.
But
no,
look,
just give them a couple of beers and then...
Oh boy. Now he become, galactic explorer expert. The thing is, Carl Sagan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that, Voyagers 1 and 2 were launched, I think, in the 1960s and 70s. Yeah, so Voyager 2, Voyager 2, I think before Voyager 2 basically span off into deep space, the camera was rotated, I think by NASA at the request, I believe of Carl Sagan, because he's one of the brains in everything, is it a nuclear physicist?
He's a physicist.
Now, the thing is, that tiny picture, when Voyager 2 turned its camera to face planet Earth, Voyager 2 took a picture that you'll find online if you look up, a pale blue dot.
Mm.
Because the phrase pale blue dot was used by Carl Sagan to describe that picture. It reminded us, HD just pointed out, just how small we are in the grand scheme of things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because...
don't tell that to the flat earthers now.
Why is
flat earthers in 2026? Is that still a thing?
They exist on YouTube. They are thriving. There's a British guy that made a channel just to debunk them on YouTube.
It's a waste of time.
No, because he's like Helmut. He uses other people's, you know, thought processes as comedic.
Start cooking them
on YouTube. But yeah.
Now, before we continue, we have 6 minutes to the 6 minutes to the hour of six. Before we continue, let's take a live read. Velvicha University 2027 applications are now open. Faculty of Health Sciences, programs, certificate for enrolled nurse, midwife, / accoucheur level 6, certificate in pharmacy level 5, diploma in environmental health sciences level 6, bachelor of social work honors, bachelor of nursing and midwifery science honors, postgraduate diploma in community health nursing level 8, postgraduate diploma in occupational health and safety level 8, postgraduate diploma in mental health nursing level 8, Master of Public Health, Master of Occupational Health and Safety. For more information, call 081-403-6406, Velvicha University, where everyone is an achiever.
Yep.
Yeah. So we're going to take a short break and we'll continue on the other side. If you just tuned in, you're listening to Home Run with Helmut, HT, and Dwight. And today's discussion is astral tourism, admiring the dark night sky that you and I here in Namibia take for granted. Turns out people are paying to come and see it. Yeah, on the other side of the break, stay tuned.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You're the person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM.
Ipurane ngelo wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweko dite opoye ekukulile oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike kovano hile koshuala onongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special angeta shake ngeshefa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onora etatuimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile ko derewa nora etatu natu bali o etatu watatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.
Yes, the time is 6 o'clock on the dot, so astrotourism. You know, I keep going back to the funny point you made earlier. Then the buy is too low. Don't tell them that.
It's a fact. You know,
the buy is too high.
Yeah, if you own the land, you know, then the bar.
I
high.
Know
the bar is very high if you own the land.
There's something that I also want to point out about this astrotourism from a research gate. I have a bunch of sources open up here. Now, again, that's a research gate, just tapping our tourism industry on the shoulder, and it's not helping on this one. Namibia is world renowned for its incredibly dark sky by the astronomy community, and yet the country is not well recognized as a dark sky destination by tourists and travelers. So a lot of people that knew about Namibia's having the most beautiful skies are those telescope observer or picture taking enthusiasts, but it's not something that was known for the larger tourism community.
Yeah.
But come to think of it, that answers the question of why a lot of tourists, at least in comparison, in urban areas they just drive through, they just stock up and then drive out, because what's there to see? If you're here to see a night sky, you don't want to stay in Windhoek because you're not going to see much of a night sky.
I want to challenge that slightly. Mm-hmm. It depends on where you are in Windhoek, once again. The sports fields are of Windhoek.
Yeah.
Here at Independence.
Yeah.
That cluster of sports facilities where the Olympia swimming pool is, public pool is.
Yeah.
There's actually a good spot if you want to do nighttime viewing.
In the middle of the night?
Yeah. Let's start from 8.
Yeah.
There's a few good spots there.
Yeah.
It's obviously just now in terms of whether or not your actual personal safety is guaranteed is one dimension.
Okay. No, that's another dimension.
Is whether or not your personal safety is guaranteed, because lo and behold, the asset forfeiture, or Helmut's favorite phrase, the GMA squad, will probably be lurking out in the bushes. There was a time, Helmut, that here, just before State House was built here in Auersplek, there was a lovely spot for lovers. And I'll be honest, it was a lovely spot. It was known, this one here in, here close to the accounting firm KPMG, that was known as Lover's Hill.
Yeah.
This hill right here in front of the State House, before they built State House, was known as Cypress Hill. I don't know why they named it after the famous rapper/rock band that I even...
I thought it was Cypress, the alienation.
No. Someone went and called it Cypress Hill after the band itself, these three Mexicans from southeast Los Angeles, who can sing of nothing good but just, insane in the membrane, those guys. So someone went and named that hill Cypress Hill. Now, that hill, Helmut, had one of the best vantage points over Windhoek. But you'll be looking at this direction. If, for those of the viewers looking at me right now, and the listeners, I'm talking about this direction, St. Paul's, Windhoek East, looking out in the direction of the airport. It was a nice view. Until the GMA squad also discovered that boyfriends and girlfriends go there to go and, hold hands late at night, while looking at the night sky of Windhoek.
Beautiful sky. Now, let me have your phone.
Yeah. It's a wonderful thing.
And when you are done, if you have a memory card to transfer all those pictures, because I also would like the camera.
Yeah. Or, how much it wasn't like that, technically. Oh. It was more like, drop everything, guys. I know. You were potentially planning for a junior, but hey, drop everything.
The thing is, interrupting a junior manufacturing is just rude.
It is rude. I mean, it's borderline, it's borderline. I'll use the president's words. It's borderline treasonous, because.
Oh yeah, you're right. That's.
Yeah, that's borderline treasonous. But what? The GMA squad, the asset forfeiture department, they don't care.
Mm-hmm.
They're there for short-term, short-term enrichment activities. And so they'd like to make their Friday night quotas or Saturday night quotas as they usually do.
By ruining mine? That's not fair.
Well, no one can do that. Yeah. And obviously what we can see is that definitely they do. They actually make use or take great advantage of the nighttime environment of a low-lit area in many cases. Now, the reason why I described this particular direction of Windhoek is that this particular direction of Windhoek has got a lot of gaps in terms of where light pollution pops up from.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the biggest culprit, Helmut, this side of the swimming of the Olympia swimming pool, is the United Sports Field. It's technically got some If Independence Avenue's floodlights are on there,
mm-hmm.
that's the biggest culprit, because its floodlights are taller than the floodlights of United Sportsfield. But United Sportsfield's floodlights are technically most weekends on, because they've got everything from cultural activities or social activities to sports activities. And the sports activities, now you've got to multiply it by three, because it could be, what's the private school's name? Vintage Gymnasium, who has the other part of the complex for their own particular use. It could be, cricket playing there. It could be rugby playing there. It could be football or even a field hockey playing there. So that facility itself does give off a bunch of light pollution. And then if you go out the other side to UNAM, where you can access the Kupferberg road that leads to the dump site, Kupferberg dump site, there's also an opportunity, but there you're not just dealing with the GMA and acid forfeiture, you're also dealing potentially with
baboons.
If you think baboons are the only worry at night, for nighttime watching,
Definitely not.
Actually, there's a little bit of a fallacy about that specific animal.
Mm.
I see them more active during daytime. I don't see them.
So they're not nocturnal.
I don't see them active at nighttime. I see them very much active during daytime.
I think it's mostly predators that are active at night.
Now, guess what is a predator of central Namibia? A leopard. And
you're not going to find those, are you? The only predators you have to worry about.
You are going to. There are leopards around Windhoek. Back in 2022, when we had that lovely rainfall, and Avis Dam once again flowed up like properly, or was it 2024? The leopard that decided to come and set up shop right here at Avis Dam. And some people were having an outcry because there were dog walkers from the Avis neighborhood that would go and walk around the dam itself. They observed this leopard. Their dogs also observed it. And the best thing that the ministry at the time could tell them was, hey, listen, guys.
Stay away.
Just stay away from the leopard.
Yeah.
They will try and relocate the leopard if they can track the leopard. But since a leopard is one of the few predators in this world that are solitary moving, it's sometimes difficult to track this animal.
Yeah.
And otherwise, you'll just have to wait for this animal to naturally just move on into a different territory.
Yeah.
But from northern Namibia down all the way to the Orange River, that central corridor of Namibia between the two deserts is leopard land. That's why you find a leopard emblem on, is it Otjivorongo, Otjivorongo's coat of arms?
Oh.
That's why you find the leopard also on certain traditional authorities' coat of arms. The leopard is a revered animal. And look there, I'm highlighting a cultural asset in this discussion. Meaning a leopard is technically, it's not the lion, which surprise, surprise, in a Namibian context. The leopard is a more revered animal.
You find it in a lot of traditional attires.
Yeah. The leopard is a more revered animal and a sought-after animal as a, as a totem animal or some sort in local Namibian traditional authorities, cultural setups and the likes. So we technically live, as the Namibians, we, the humans, we technically live within the corridor of leopards, meaning their habitat. This is their habitat.
Yeah.
So the discussion that we also have to look at specifically is your personal safety. If you're someone investing in nighttime tourism or astro-tourism, you've got to ensure specifically a safety component. Because one of the things about lights is that lights,
deters predators.
Yeah, and it also deters any other wildlife.
Yeah.
Because lights also indicate to many of the wildlife that there's technically humans here. Not a fire. I've heard that a fire attracts, in the northern hemisphere, where they've got wolves, a fire attracts wolves. They come and investigate what activity is this.
What's going on,
I
think the animals that hate fire like crazy are hippos.
Well, A hippo is also not a nocturnal animal.
They feed at night.
Feed at night.
And they make a noise a lot.
Yeah, I heard a story about a farmer, a guy that tried to set up a whole, what you call it, a plantation set up right next to the Kavango River, where the local community there kept telling him, don't set up on the riverbank.
Yeah.
Move a little bit inland.
Yeah.
Pump water from the river for your irrigation. Yeah. Yes. But don't entice a hippo to literally now have nighttime snacks at your expense.
Because they're going to do that.
They did do that.
Yeah.
They literally ruined this guy's
plantation.
Entire investment, agricultural investment, because he didn't listen to the local communities that told him, listen, my guy, why do you see none of us setting up our plantations on the riverbank? It's because hippos, you are technically telling them, here's a snack bar.
Have a good time.
Have a good time for free. You know, the best nutrition you could ask for. GMO made even. have a free dinner late at night. And yeah, so it's also a scenario like that. Now, I know that the two Kavango regions, Helmut, I've seen that the night sky or night can get super dark there.
Yeah.
And when I say dark, nah. Guys, I'm talking about you putting up your hand like this in front of your face. You can't see your hand.
Especially, you know, especially during storms.
Yeah.
Like I think there's something, you know, there's something you find very interesting being at the village during a storm. And because it gets super cloudy, and if it's raining heavily, the rain will be a little bit of a distraction of some sort if you want to observe a night sky. But the thing is, you know, if it's raining, it's obviously cloudy, so the night sky is not be that good. But if you wanna be in a, you know, really just dark natural environment, villages for you. Yeah, but now if you look at places like a place like Popa, for example. And you have a place like Popa, because there's this very aggressive rampage of water, and the noise from those rocks.
Is it like rapids?
It's basically rapids.
Yeah.
So the thing is, it would be a waterfall, but it's not strong enough to, you know, to generate electricity.
It doesn't float down. It's just water.
Yeah, it's just crashing in rocks, because there are a lot of rocks, and this is over a very wide area.
Yeah.
So you can hear the noise from you can hear the noise from a distance, and you find that on a lot of different areas. And there's one such place at Biro, where my high school is located. So the place is very rocky, and the water is rushing, obviously, because of this, the different terrains and hitting different types of rocks.
Yeah.
Now, those things also makes for a very good, natural sound if you're one of those people that like to listen to things like rainfall and water flowing. But before that, commercial break.
USAFE's customers love combos, right? Well, for just $589 Namibian, you can get 10 kilogram Chapin Super Maize Meal, 10 kilograms of Bokomu Fed Cooked Flour, 10 kilograms of Marathon of Brown or White Sugar, 5 kilos of Nice Rice, plus 1 kilo of Grande Pasta. That's just $589 Namibian for 5 essential products. The ShopRite Group buys bulk, so you can save. Yes, we all save at USAFE.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura manners.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye.
Welcome back. We continue 16 minutes into the hour of six. Look, I'm inviting you to one of my show next time.
There will be no stars.
There will be no stars. Yeah, they just be, you know, a lot of Namibians having a good time with a lot of
other Namibians telling jokes.
You know, Namibian breweries and Namibian human beings, Namibian everything. It's the most Namibian place you can be.
With a very yellow coloring, you know, a tinge of yellow.
You also find, all kinds of people. You have some yellow people also, you know, all around.
Now I'm talking about the other color scheme, Mahmoud, that's very obvious there.
Oh, yeah, the lemon.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, astrotourism is, up until today, honestly, I didn't know that place exists. That's how broke I am.
I knew of the company.
Namibian Nature Reserve.
Yeah, I know of the company.
Yeah.
It's just where they are. I don't know. The other core thing is also that even like with NWR.
Yeah.
Last year when I was invited to the other particular sort of like what was that automotive manufacturing thing that was held at. What's this thing here, close to Okahania? Cross Barman.
Yeah.
It's a little bit difficult, specifically if you try to have a nighttime experience around existing facilities. Mm-hmm. You know, facilities that have got light installations and existing, like, recreational and tourism facilities around it. Because, let me explain one of Cross Barman's sort of, like, distractive features.
Yeah.
They've got palm trees. And since palm trees grow so high, now there's a wind on the outskirts of Okahania.
Yeah.
And that's all you hear. You would think it's like thunder or rainfall somewhere far off, but because of that sound those dried leaves of the palm tree make when wind blows at that altitude, as everybody would know in geography, the higher you go, the stronger the wind becomes,
yeah.
Just so that you guys know. And since a palm tree grows that tall, and the ones that...
It's encountering a lot of, high-moving winds.
Yeah, so they catch a lot of wind there at the top. Lodges... I've observed a couple of lodges, Helmut, because they do spread a lot of light pollution.
Lodges?
Yeah, lodges.
Yeah, they do have light.
Usually, like, at the head office... Or at the banqueting hall.
Yeah.
Or close to where sleeping quarters are, meaning like where the visitors or the tourists, the customers have to go and rest and sleep. There's a lot of illumination around those facilities.
Yeah.
If you did, for example, like that one, what was that one thing that we used to do, that I used to do when I was just after high school here in Windhoek. Now, there were Hilton stands, Helmut.
Mm-hmm.
And with those new buildings, the F&B head office, the new F&B head office, and the new Nedbank head office, that whole section, up and until the pavement of Independence Avenue, where you still have the
staircase.
not the street. Did you say street kids or staircase?
Let's go with steps. Street kids, you went straight to.
I'm
not that diabolical.
I heard street kids. I wanted to
staircase.
I wanted to say where the crafts are.
Here
where the parking is. Now that used to be like the old OK parking, as it used to be called, and we used to hang out there. But at the top level, where you find the Hilton, the F&B, and the Nedbank head offices, you know, this top level here.
Yeah.
Which is now known as the Plaza. I think it's the whole sort of like installation. Now, hanging out there was a nice spot for nighttime, just nighttime viewing. I'll call it nighttime viewing because it's still not, it's an activity that in Namibia I haven't seen much of. I suspect there's a few people that practice it. Helmut also already confirmed it, specifically in that ResearchGate report. research report. But in terms of like how you see and interact with an activity, I haven't seen it like personally as yet. But we did do it a lot. We did do it a lot. That spot in the center of Windhoekne on Independence Avenue was probably the best place where you could conduct nighttime viewing.
Mm-hmm.
But here's what a whole bunch of people from KwaMashal came and did there. While you're chilling there, everybody shows up there with their sporty tuned second-hand cars, making noise and dragging their tires all up and down that whole, what was it, 200 meters? Yeah, 200 meter distance of that parking lot from end to end.
It's very common
stuff. And then you would go like, okay, first, that's entertainment. Second, yeah. You would go like, nah, man, toch, man. And then, obviously, city police started patrolling that place a lot more because they realized we were standing there with, a lot of, alcoholic-based refreshments in public. And at that stage, the legislation popped in about not drinking in public or on or in public surfaces.
Yeah.
So, now there was also a lot of motivation to come and, basically monitor, a lot of youthful individuals who were just,
full of energy and,
active.
Very fresh, levers to destroy.
It wasn't technically that. The funny thing was, is that if you think about back about it, how a commodity that really wasn't a commodity, which now has become a commodity, was something that we did just naturally. You four buddies would call each other up, just four buddies, and say, hey, listen, guys, I've got a few drinks. How about we meet up tonight and we hang out at that specific public place?
Yeah.
Everybody would be game. You're not paying a fee to get into a club. You're not paying exorbitant prices for the same drinks that you can consume there that you bought at the shop earlier.
Mm-hmm.
You're not paying exorbitant prices for the same drinks. And you're just enjoying each other's company and conversation. The other things like the noise pollution and the other, random, testosterone-induced...
Tire squealing.
And people showing off their cars and stuff. Yeah, all those activities, were part of the setting. But, that's what a public space is about. It's like being on a pavement. You're accessing the same pavement as everybody else on the pavement. And you're using the pavement for what it is, walking on it because you can't walk in the road. But it now has become like a dying breed where we now have to read up on, and this is a criticism of my that I'm adding here, where you now have to technically, it's not an immoral activity, but charging someone to look up at the sky, which they can just tilt their neck for and do this, or just buy a bicycle and ride 5 kilometers, like I said, ride 5 kilometers out in every direction.
Those 5 kilometer directions that you keep referring to have two security concerns.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you have when you have leopards, like you pointed out.
Leopards don't come close to highways.
So that's another light pollution with a bunch of cars passing. Okay, maybe the speed hump will also help you in that regard.
Yeah, you've got a bicycle helmet. You're almost not moving fast, too fast.
Well, okay, enough. You and I know that...
Speed hump to literally derail you.
You and I know that Namibia is not built for cycling.
It technically is.
I'm not talking about...
It's Windhoek. It's not built for
cycling. I'm not talking about the roads. I'm talking about the drivers, especially on Friday and during weekends, and especially month end.
So you have to say, as Namibians, we are not born for cyclists.
No, that's, it's a very Dutch thing, but for Windhoek, now you have to worry about, drivers, motorists, and you have to worry about, if you steer clear of the highway, we are most likely going to end up into someone's private property.
Yeah.
Or you are going to end up running into wild animals.
I've got a story about that one. About ending up in people's private property.
Oh, you will run into leopards.
My story, but though. It was on that excursion last year, the week-long one when me and the other journalists went to the north, that cultural tourism thing, the tourism board. So the other tour guide that took the other batch southwards complained while we were standing outside waiting, and he complained, and we were now discussing this in Afrikaans. He said, "Yong," he tells me, "Yo, there was this very weird Italian tourist. He had to give a personal tour, because a lot of these people come to Namibia, these new tourists after COVID, and because of Donald Trump's immigration issues, they now come to Namibia, and a lot of them don't have licenses."
Huh?
Yeah. Look, Hammond, if you come from a country where all your public transport is
why would you need a car? True. Yeah, exactly.
Why would you need a car? That's why I had a massive argument with my four friends that I had since high school that I had.
Mm-hmm.
I had a massive argument with them because I was the only one that couldn't drive a car. And all of them could drive a car. They all came from Comestal, you know. But they didn't worry about having to go to university because their dads already taught them, get your license. Mm-hmm. And that's why I kept all that discussion we had last year on the home run.
Yeah.
Which one is the most important thing to advance your personal career as a young person in Namibia? Is it a license or is it a 3-year degree? And I've seen a lot more people getting hired just with a grade 12 Just a grade 12 and a license. You know, even the underworld promotes the getaway driver who has a license. Yes, go watch Baby Driver, the movie.
I've seen that movie.
It's an awesome movie. And the worst thing is, he's an autistic guy who's got a license. He's got a license.
He's terrible with people, but he's good with cars.
I just don't understand how... Now, where did he get the time to get the license?
I'm pretty sure he could have grown up around cars.
He possibly could have. Yeah. He could have been trained early and been exposed early to driving, like many people in my generation specifically were.
Mm.
But it's a dimension also of, you know, you sometimes look at, what is this? And this is not even an industry certification.
Mm-mm.
This is a government certification, Helmut. Your license.
Show up with it.
If you have a car license, I realized that in 2018
there's one guy that was working for the same nature conservation facility who is Namibian, but I believe his partner was German, and every time she came every time she came to visit. The thing is, she cannot drive in a gravel road.
Okay.
Which I found fascinating. I'm like, okay.
Why? Does she have a license?
Yeah.
Does he have a license?
Yeah.
So.
She
just doesn't know what a gravel road probably feels like driving on.
I think she's not used to driving in a gravel road.
Which is the most dangerous road on the world. Do you know that? I couldn't understand. My sister kept referencing one time when she grew up stayed with my grandmother before my grandmother passed away in the 80s. My grandmother kept telling my sister that a gravel road is more dangerous than a wet road. I could not
understand. Because of all the bumps. It's uneven.
Not just the bumps.
Yeah.
A gravel road also has loose rocks.
Yeah, it is.
And loose gravel
stones. A lot of those.
A loose gravel stone. Your car's tires were not made for loose gravel stones. And a lot of uneven bumps on it. Jeez. You might have the 4x4 tire, which gives grip. That's why it's made for certain cars. But imagine, we know Namibians, land of the brave. We take a Corolla into the bush.
Oh yeah, we'll take that anyway.
We take a Merc C-Class into the bush. Not a Merc G-Class. You don't even see the G-Wagon and G-Classes here in Namibia. Gallivanting and bushwhacking in the bush.
I know a lot of people with rough terrain capable vehicles don't drive them. I mean, they look like they're built for that, especially the Wranglers. I see a lot of them here. You just look at the car and go like, this car has never been driven off road.
Yeah, and that car has never a speck of dust. My scooter has more dust on it.
It's just the four wheel drive feel.
Yes.
The customization is just for the feel, not for the exploration type of experience.
Exactly. Mm. Now, the thing that she experienced was that it was a it it was a weird feeling.
It was literally weird.
And I've seen...
It requires a whole different type of control.
Yeah. And I've also experienced it specifically. Yeah. That's why if you drive a little bit of a higher speed on a gravel road,
yeah,
your car has that shaking, vibrating feature.
Yeah.
If the car is an old model, it sounds like a literally someone is shaking a tin can like this.
Yeah.
If it's a new car, you just don't know the sound. Because you think the car is falling out of, falling apart. But technically, well, it technically can fall apart if you drive too much on a gravel road. Don't ask me why. You know what vibrations are.
Yeah.
And you know what vibrations do to parts that were connected with a screw or something. Because that screw, you know, edges loose. But scenarios like that, many of those visitors don't know. The secondary road network of Namibia.
Yeah.
The secondary road network of Namibia is also something that a lot of local Namibians actually love.
I know a lot of tourists like to drive off-road.
No.
From, especially Lucent.
No. A lot of Namibians
love
the secondary road network.
The gravels.
Especially a lot of these Windhoekers with the bakkies.
Uh-huh.
You should see them, Helmut. You will catch them even tomorrow. You will catch them. There's a spot here, right out here eastwards, outside Windhoek, on the way to the what's the monument's name?
Heroes Acre.
Heroes Acre.
Yeah.
On the way to Kupferberg. Kupferberg is even the best. Kupferberg. Even the cyclists. Nah. They do you know what they do? There's on the Kupferberg road, which is a gravel road. There's the police blockade point. The police blockade point on that road. All the cyclists and runners park their cars literally at the police blockade. As if they're telling the police, okay, please babysit our cars. I don't know where the police became, the modern day sort of like car keepers of...
So they're the car guards.
The car guards.
They're the best police officers.
And the worst thing is, on the side of that gravel road, you see like these Jeep Wranglers, these Toyota Land Cruiser, the SUVs and the buggies and all the Hilux buggies. You see just these
four-wheel capable
cars alongside the road, and it's for a bunch of cyclists and runners. You know, people that decide here in their 40s to be start to think they can be look at Swartboy, from back then. And you can see, bruh, what are you doing on a gravel road? Could do that in town. But yeah, so you'll find a lot of that. A lot of these Windhoekers love doing that.
Yeah.
It would be nice to see how, in a modern day context, we explore this development of astrotourism. Because, in all honesty, I know I'm sharing this point a little bit late. I actually thought this had everything to do with some sort of a space scientific element in terms of someone building rockets, the potential of a launch pad here in Namibia. And then when I read like the introduction, and I was like, what? Just to look at night? And when you shared with me on the message, like, I didn't know this thing has the potential. I was like,
I had no idea too.
Do you know, Helmut?
Yeah.
When we, back in the 90s, when we still stayed in Riebeeldsee, during summer, that your house would get so hot in Riebeeldsee, that you would take your bed and your mattress out, and all you would do is you would just lie there in the night. And like I said, as long as the mosquitoes didn't come and have a buffet on you, obviously, but you would just lie there in the night, and then you watch this lovely... It's like a blue black, not even navy blue, but it's like a blue black night sky, and you just see all these stars.
Yeah.
Now I'm talking about the southern perspective here in the south. Here in Windhoek, I haven't seen it so properly. Only a few times, like back in last year. If you switched off your lights at home, you switch off all your lights in the house, and you stand out in the yard and you look up at the sky, you would see a decent night sky. But if you did something like sleep under that night sky, it's a totally different experience. the potential is there, people, because some of these students don't want noises. They don't want a lot of technological involvement.
Yeah.
They see enough of it at home. So, yeah, the opportunity.
They're basically getting away from exactly that.
Yeah.
So they just want to be one in nature.
Exactly. Exactly.
One with nature. Just birds chirping in the background. And this, some suspicious noise of leaves rattling and branches breaking, snakes hissing.
What does it sound like? Something's approaching.
Yeah, it definitely something is approaching. At this point, it could be anything.
As long as it's your dog approaching you.
Yeah, or a hyena.
What, do they also walk softly?
No, those are marathon runners. And they are ambush predators.
So if you are presenting yourself out there, then you are potentially going to be ambushed.
I never heard of a story, at least in the environment I grew up with. I grew up in hyenas attacking people.
Yeah.
They are more into their prey, and more often, and this is something that you actually I find fascinating about predators. More often, predators only attack when they feel threatened, not because they're hungry. They don't see us as food for the most part.
Well, except for the mamba.
Those are just those snakes are crazy.
Except for the mamba.
The thing is, for all animals, they become very okay. All animals are territorial. Human beings are too.
Yeah.
Yeah. But when they feel threatened, which is why one of the experience they offer at the Nature Foundation is they call it cheetah walking, where they will have sessions of taking pictures or just taking a walk with a cheetah. There are people that have a lot of money that they want to have that experience, but
walking
this
behind a cheetah.
Just walking alongside it.
You know?
Yeah, I know.
You know? I heard of the story.
They call it cheetah walking.
Yeah. Have you heard of the story of the guy a few years back, way in front of COVID, who felt he was in touch with a lion? With that lion reserve. I won't mention the name.
Then he was turned into Kapana? Yeah, I know.
Yes. No, not into Kapana. He was literally turned into literally goulash.
Look, it's that very same result.
Okay.
Yeah. And the thing is, all the time that I was there, I have seen the cheetah, but behind a fence.
There's exactly a reason why the fence is there.
Yeah. So I'm like, okay, so, why is this cheetah here? Because you find them in the middle of this, basically in the middle of the facility, just next to the admin block.
Yeah.
Why is this cheetah here? It's like, it's for tourists. They like to have this experience of taking a walk with a cheetah, or like taking pictures with a cheetah. It won't attack. I'm like, yeah, no, maybe your eyes are not, giving a full picture, but I'm black. I love life. And now,
I'm pro-life.
Yeah, I'm pro-life.
I'm pro-my life
that way. That's not how I roll.
Yeah.
It's trained. They are set in way. But the thing is, before you take pictures with it, or before you go for a walk, there are certain things that you are told not to do. Like, don't startle it.
Don't startle it.
Yeah, because if you startle it, it goes in defensive mode. And one lady actually that works for that resort ended up being hospitalized with serious injuries because of that. Because you give it food, it knows how to live around you, but bottom line is still a wild animal. That survival instinct is still built in. So when you startle it, it pops out and it gets very aggressive.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you have experienced something that I never actually thought before I worked for them, that this is a real thing. You have people that just want to fly to Namibia and take a picture of themselves walking with the fastest living organism on land.
Cheetah,
actually, the second fastest, the fastest living organism, not the fastest thing, because the fastest things on the planet, you have, number one is my salary, number two is the weekend, number three is the cheetah. weekends, I mean, it's Friday today. When you wake up the next day, it's already Sunday.
I think the comparison then is about the relative speed.
The relative speed. I mean, okay. You're just chilling at home. You're just chilling at home with your beer on Friday. The next thing you know, it's Sunday. You're like,
And then you end up like that meme about the guy that said, "Ish, these kids in the movies now, they are very expensive." Then you see at the bottom of that invoice, there's something like $16,000 worth of whiskey shots that were taken.
This one thing I find fascinating about about movies.
Yeah.
You have a scene where a kid is looking at their parents and going like, "Dad, can I have some money?" And the dad is like, "Okay, you know what? Okay, here's a $20."
Yeah.
And I'm going, $20.
Yeah, $20, Helmut, is almost $400.
That's exactly my point.
Yeah. I mean, if
that's my kid asking me for something, give me some money, and then I hand them $400.
Yes.
At 9 years of what?
Yes. Imagine the scenario now. What was that one joke my two elder brothers spoke about? And I listened to them, and they were like, "You're in the U.S. If you can, because they were still teenagers, and I was still like on primary school. They were having a conversation about, just having allowance money to at least just, have your life as a teenager."
Yeah.
And then they said, "You're in the US, now, 10 US, and this is in the 90s, 10 US dollars would go very far for you." And then my eldest brother says,
"Yeah,
if you had 20 US dollars, and they both went like, "Yo, that is the life." Because technically, you'd be sitting with like $200 on you. And you'd be able to, and $200 in the 90s was something. And I mean, when I say something, Helmut, it was a lot. So, when you think about this now, obviously moving forward in time, you realize, it seems like inflation worked against us Namibians, not against the US dollar, because technically it meant that, and obviously currency devaluation, it means that just, things didn't go so well for us, because they still have the same US dollar.
Yeah.
Back then, it's just more Namibian dollars that you're paying for that one US dollar.
Yeah.
So the dimension is one about how money does change a lot of things.
Okay. coming back to stars, but on the other side of the break, and you are still listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. Stay tuned for the remaining 16 minutes.
Do you need toiletries and household cleaners? You won't get it cheaper than a You Save up to the 7th of June. Get 250 mm jars of Vaseline for only $25. Smell fresh with Playboy roll-on deodorant for just $18.99. Get 2 kg of Surf's hand washing powder for just $49.99. Get 750 mm Sunlight dishwashing liquid for $28.99. And get 2 boxes of Cares Maxi sanitary pads for only $12.99. You Save. Where else?
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nweku tete opoye ekukulile oshafafana nongeshe faili mehola mo iho etike kovano ile koshuana unongeshe faa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okukwetira oipindi konu honda doi nawa nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarudi dayo loka opone ushendife nawa nukumona oijamweli nawa ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM onora esatu imwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ile konderewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu watatu omafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Welcome back. So let's look at how can I structure my question? the possibility of this being used, of this astrotourism being taken advantage of economic wise, beyond basically, for all the tourism tourist institutions or anyone that would like to venture into the business of sightseeing, for sale, basically. On a small scale, take for example, how you have a lot of accommodation areas in a lot of urban areas, like you have your hotels, your guest houses, you have your Airbnb and all that,
yeah.
And the sofa description that you gave the other time. You're looking at a spectrum of of institutions that offer the same service, only differing in affordability, security comes in, maybe some luxury also counts into that. I think the question that this brings up is, can this be exercised on a level of a rural setting, for example?
Mm.
I'm pretty sure for places I'm going to go with natural homes, but all homes are natural. I'm running out of English here. I used a lot of it last night.
What is a natural home?
No.
Now I'm also perplexed here.
Okay. I'm going to go very... let me describe this. You know how we describe the wild animals?
Yeah.
There are a lot of people that would like to see in a lot of developed countries. A lot of countries have zoos. A lot of cities have zoos where you can go and view all these animals in in their enclosure, which has a lot of accessibility and security associated to it that you don't have to worry about if you are when you're watching them in their natural habitat. But for a lot of people, they actually like that experience of watching these animals in their natural habitat.
Yeah, until in their countries, one of them decides to go and climb into a polar bear enclosure. The other scenario, it was in a tiger enclosure. In another scenario, it was... it's what those people do. It's like the story I wanted to tell you about the story between me and the tour guide,
yeah.
Where he said the Italian tourist he had wanted to keep driving onto private farmland here in the south of Namibia, and the guy kept telling the tour guide, do you want me to get shot for trespassing?
Yeah.
And technically, there are Namibians like that who don't trust, complete strangers.
Yeah.
You've literally got to call them, and send a whole, postcard and a DHL in front. Tell them, I'm coming to you. Don't saddle up for any kind of a Western gunfight. This is not a Clint Eastwood movie. So, scenarios like that happen.
Mm-hmm.
There's a kind of tourist that's coming to Namibia now, Hamut, that doesn't understand you can't go into certain places. There are even some traditional authority places in Namibia where you can't just go and drive on. You have to ask permission to even access the thing in some cases.
Mm-hmm.
Because, it's not just like a voerwaar bezigheid, like we say in Afrikaans, just voerwaar. Everybody just does what they do. Which brings us to a point, for example, that happened in Norway. So the Norwegians, they've got a culture of hiking. And there was a time that Norwegians would decide to do what sometimes happens in Rehoboth, when we grew up, when we still stayed there, where your neighbor decides, because he doesn't want to walk around with the street. He doesn't want to follow the street now.
Yeah.
He decides to just cut it here through your property. Then homeboy trespasses in your property, walks through your property, still says, hello, Uganda. And you're like, wat maak je in mijn yard? And then you see the next thing, you see them exiting on the other side of the fence. Now, obviously that shows you there's security concerns, because if your neighbor does this regularly, you've got issues. Because potentially that same neighbor can decide, how about I start, appropriating without just compensation while I'm commuting through your property. It's worse than the asset forfeiture in Windhoek. That stuff happens in Rehoboth. Don't worry, guys.
Jeez.
And it still happens till this day.
Oh, boy.
So, the scenarios like that, right,
are scenarios that that in Norway, the Norwegians would walk through people's farms. And a court case was held. Because the farmers were like, you're trespassing on my land. And the Norwegians were asking, were arguing, if this is Norway, why can't I walk everywhere? And literally the Norwegians, the everyday Norwegian, won a court case against private property, the convention on private property and the principle of private property and accessibility. As long as you want to walk through and not you squatting. You walk through, not squat.
You know, that squatting part is one interesting part because property law is very interesting when it comes to squatting. It's like, okay, look, I'm one of those people that just don't have a single property to their name.
Yeah.
But the laws in relation to squatting, it's a very interesting one when it comes to just how much advantage is actually given to them. The owner of the property is actually, one of the fears is that if they let you stay there for an extended period of time, you start legally, slowly acquiring some certain rights that makes it difficult for them to get rid of you.
Mm.
Yeah, that's why when they see you there the first time, they have to show that, they have to kick you out. Because, if they allow you to stay there for an extended period of time, and they try to kick you out and you refuse, one of the things that you can argue about that can be used against them in court, believe it or not, is, by allowing them.
Yeah.
Yeah. The fact that they left you to stay on that area. It's like, they didn't show that, they didn't show the, that perception to you that they didn't want you staying there.
Yeah.
Now, the fact that you stayed there and maybe you exchange some conversation every now and then makes it look like they didn't have a problem with you staying there. So you slowly start acquiring some certain rights that you can argue. And which I think is just... oh. don't wear those type of shorts at the village, Well, because chicken can't tell the difference between your crown jewels and grains on the ground when you're sitting down. Look at
what, Albert?
I swear I thought I used up all my jokes on stage. Yeah. Now, here's the thing.
I think a valve was just released.
Yeah, you just slowly like... I think, Astro Tourism, when it comes to Namibia, the point I was driving to when I was looking for the term that led me to the direction of natural habitat and museum was living museums. So for, I think, the Astro Tourism would be I believe it's already exercised in terms of living museums because the idea behind living museums is to simulate a village type traditional as it can for a rural area.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whether it's in Africa and Asia, the idea behind a living museum is to find something that is what you'd consider primitive, but it's not primitive. That's where we are from. Now, I believe this would be a good thing for living museum type of facilities, but I think it's already being exercised because one of the reasons why you would be at a living museum is so you can experience things that like it was in the olden days when technology was not did not come and basically occupy a significant part of our lives.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you don't have a lot of pollution other than the fire that you have just set up and a few flashlights with you have an option of turning on and off. So that in the middle of the night, if you want to set up your telescope or if you want to set up your camera to take, pictures of the Milky Way galaxy as it rotates and all that, you don't have a lot of pollution of cars passing by and all that. So... tourism is a very interesting thing.
Yeah.
Because things that we consider to be normal or more like to be very ordinary is something that is a lot of people, because of the development, they feel like they have been robbed of their interaction with nature. Which is weird.
Yeah.
back to, you know, the bar being low. You know what? I'll just put you on Silas Ndapuka or Intercape and I'll be like, okay, you want to be shown a good time? Let's go to the village.
Yeah.
Just have some insect repellent and make sure you have all your allergy meds, because I understand you guys from developed countries are allergic to everything. So, we just go to
Well, you know, they can always support your local peanut lady here.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So, we'll just go to the village and then we'll have apparently dinner under the moon. Look, man, I'm too African for this.
Oh, my goodness.
You know, dinner under the moonlight.
I shouldn't have said what I said.
I'm looking at that and going, really? Yeah. Dinner under the moonlight? So that's near. It was a wonderful experience. Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, then we just took a walk with kettle. Well, where I come from, that's very annoying. It's called looking after kettle.
Yeah.
So, believe me, that's my whole childhood. I don't remember when last... Okay, I haven't done that in like 12 years now.
Mm.
Yeah, but it's something that basically brings up... There's something about looking after kettle that... ties you in nature, because you have to understand you're in the middle of nowhere. There are no street signs. All you have is the direction of the sun. That's sunset, that's sunrise.
Yeah.
And then you can point out north, south, east, and west. That's it. You don't have a compass. And I grew up looking after cattle. And got lost twice. Scared my mother to death. But my dad was just there cracking jokes. My mom was terrified.
Look, you were riding cattle.
No, I was just looking at. Yeah, definitely. Because you take them. You have to ride them basically around 9-11.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. You gallivant the whole day with them and then bring them around 3-4.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this other time, it starts raining heavily, and you don't have an umbrella. So it becomes very standard to be rained over.
Yeah.
Yeah. And now, the beautiful part is, after being rained over, the sleep that you get after that is just... Look, just go through that experience, and you're going to love it. Mm. You're going to catch a cold if you haven't done that in a while. So it's just your body adjusting. But I'm saying don't end up in a coma.
Mm.
Yeah. It's why I'm telling you, you know, it runs in the family. My mom was dead, you know.
Access the inner rodeo in you.
Access the inner rodeo in you. Now, this other time, I got lost and got home around 8 or 9 in the evening.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you are navigating the, you know, the bushes of the Namibian savannah at
just
night.
Like Kavango East, Helmut.
Yeah.
Or southern Angola.
Yeah.
Whichever one
will you? That part. The southern Angola is even better when it comes to, you know, when it comes to as limited light pollution as possible. That part is the best.
Yeah.
Yeah, the thing is you have to worry about elephants, mostly elephants, and cheetahs, hyenas, and lions. You know, I've never run into those. And occasional ostriches. 7 o'clock on the dot. That brings us to the end of Home Run for today. So, do you want to figure out maybe a few business ideas of exploring your inner astral tourism ideas?
Because this is technically an extrovert.
You're right.
This is about you getting out into the bush.
How can you monetize that, though? Say you're at the village and you want to come up with these ideas. Or, you know, you want to participate in that part of the tourism economy.
I won't give that idea right away right now.
You know, just patent it.
Yeah.
So, until Monday, same time, same place. Actually, Sunday. Yeah.
Same here also, yeah. Sunday, same time, same place. You can find me here at 5 a.m. Helmut will be a little later, I think, at like...
11, yeah.
So, until then, enjoy the rest of your program in our company, guys.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Tune in to The Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on your number one talk radio station, Eagle FM, and be part of an in-depth discussion on events you didn't know you needed to hear until you do. From Namibia, Africa, and around the world, tune in from Monday to Friday from 4:30 to 6 p.m. only on Eagle FM.